dass das ein für alle Mal.
Let it be made clear, once and for all, this evening, as we have just heard, that these are indeed experiences with God that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. And as I said before, when we have had such an experience with God, we must know it. And there are plenty of references to this in the Holy Scriptures, especially the one passage, firstly the one passage that reminds us of the creation of the natural man, and then secondly of what the Lord Jesus did among his disciples after his resurrection. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, we read from verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and says unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then saith Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and says unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosesoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosesoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Our main focus here is on the thought that the Lord Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We know that in the beginning, when God created natural man, he was completely there. But it was only when God breathed into him the breath of life, man became a living soul. This concerned the natural man, so that he might be called into natural existence. Now, after Jesus Christ had paid the price on the cross of Calvary, after his blood had been shed for the reconciliation of many, he reveals himself to his disciples after his resurrection, breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. It actually reminds us and gives us the opportunity to draw a comparison between the first man whom God created, into whom he breathed life, and he became a living soul. Now, on these people who existed on earth and were living souls, he breathed on them and says unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Something new was to come into being here, something lasting, something eternal. And then we see the experience at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and the church was founded and the brothers went out to serve the Lord. Of course, we know that we cannot present God with a program. It is impossible for us to say how God should act in every single case. However, what is important in an experience, no matter how it happened, is that we have certainty about what we experienced with God. This is important because every experience we have with God must give us such certainty that we actually have complete clarity about it. We know in this context that when Peter preached in Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who listened to his speech. We do not know how long he preached. We do not know how much time the people had to take it in. But we read that God gave them the Holy Spirit in the same way as he did to those at Pentecost in the beginning. So there must have been a process or a procedure that took place during the sermon that led the people to believe in Jesus Christ, and that the cleansing power of the blood and the word worked on them. And then the confirmation came immediately during the same sermon, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit as at Pentecost in the beginning. We all live in a time when we know a great deal, when we value knowledge. But I believe the time has truly come when we should value an encounter with God. As we heard, the new birth gives us eternal life. Whoever is born of God has the life of God within them. But then this being said, this joining together within the body of Jesus Christ happens through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If I am to speak with the words of Brother Branham or elaborate on them, then it can mean so much that we, or to speak with Peter, that we become living stones the moment we receive life from God. But a living stone that has not found its place and does not fill a gap somewhere, but has perhaps only just been brought to life, does not yet fulfill the purpose for which it is intended. Every child of God will only fulfill the purpose for which they were born again unto a living hope when we are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, as we have heard, we have access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God has the opportunity to reveal these gifts in the church as needed. I must leave it up to each individual to decide what conclusion they come to before God and what account they give to God regarding the experiences or the experience that we or the person concerned has had with God. But I believe that it is not a sustainable situation in the long run that we put off such important things and remain in uncertainty, perhaps dissatisfied with ourselves, our environment, and everyone else. But that we actually, if something is there, or if something is not yet there, then God has the fullness that we can ask Him for it, and He will have to give it to us without any doubt. There is no point in telling people that they will participate in the rapture if they have not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would not have the inner freedom to do that. If someone asked me whether someone will be saved if they are born again, I can say yes without hesitation, because whoever is born of God cannot be lost. For God cannot deny Himself and His life that He has given to human beings. But when it comes to the rapture, to being present at the marriage supper of the Lamb, to being blessed and used by God here, to being an instrument in the hand of God, we have heard it literally. We become children of God. We are Christians from the moment of the new birth and have received eternal life. But through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, access to the gifts and in general to be used by God in His service is given to us by grace. And this is not a reproach. I myself submit to every word of God. But I do not want God to reproach me one day for not teaching in this place as God's Word teaches. Of course, and I must say this freely, if the book, The Seven Church Ages, presents a different view from what we have just heard and explained here, then I am very sorry, but we stick to what God's Word says. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. This is God's Word, and that's what makes or breaks everything. So in this time, we have the call to return to the Word of God in all things. And if we believe that the restoration is not only promised, but that it shall come to pass. But perhaps I should have mentioned that the book, The Seven Church Ages, was not written exclusively by Brother Branham, but was written by Lee Vail. I must state this clearly here, so that no one thinks that Brother Branham contradicted himself. I have listened to enough tapes to know what Brother Branham said, and it has indeed been the downfall of many. They thought they now had a resting pillow and no longer needed to experience God in that way, and thought they could get by with that. No, we see two things here. We see that the Lord Jesus said very clearly to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The context does not speak of the rapture. When we read Matthew 25, it says that the wise virgins had not only lamps, but they also had oil in their vessels. And at midnight there was a cry made, and all the virgins arose. But those who were ready, who did not lack the oil, went in, and the door was shut. This word speaks in the context of the bridegroom, and who will enter with him into glory. So we must clearly distinguish that there is a first resurrection and that there is a second resurrection, that there are people who will be present at the first and that there are people who will be present at the second. Those who were present at the first were born again and ready, and those who will be present at the second must also be born again. Otherwise, they could never enter into eternal life. But as already said, If we believe that God has revealed His word in this time, then we should not put our hope in the second resurrection, but simply cry out in our need and say, My God, if you have revealed your word to us, the word for your bride in this time, and given us the grace to receive it and believe it, then grant us now the grace that we may experience everything that is necessary, everything that is required to be there when the Lord Jesus returns to take His own home. You will see when the next two sermons by Brother Branham come out that it is indeed a matter of being thrown into this inner distress, that all our exuberance passes away, and that we begin to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and that we struggle to penetrate, and that we do not say, well, we have everything now, we are on the journey. But as long as we are on earth, and I would like to speak here with the words of Paul, who said that he was again in labor with them, and he wanted to present Christ a chaste virgin. He struggled and took everything upon himself and did not fail to teach and expound the scriptures day and night, so that his work and ministry would not be in vain. It would be the most terrible disappointment for me, and I believe for all of us, who have heard God's word in this place over the years, if we were to realize at the end of our journey that we had left something out. And even if there is someone here today who might say, well, so far I am not lacking anything, the hour is coming when there will be a lack. The hour will come, because the Bible says so, namely when the cry was made and the virgins all rose from their sleep and all trimmed their lamps and all set out to meet the bridegroom. And then the distress began. Before that final moment comes, we should be seized by an inner distress, that we throw ourselves before the face of God and actually pray through. I don't know if we even know what that is, to actually pray until we have complete certainty, until we have a breakthrough, until we have an experience with God. In the past, we used to spend hours and hours in prayer until we experienced God. And we have heard it said, if someone believes biblically and accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and experiences the forgiveness of their sins, they will be born again unto a living hope. There is no doubt about that. But what about what we are considering here tonight? Namely, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of God, the power of God that is to be revealed in the midst of God's people. And isn't that precisely what causes us all difficulty? And we constantly ask ourselves the question, why is it that God does not come into His own? I will tell you one thing. If we were 100% biblical church, then God would have to reveal Himself. God cannot remain silent. God is the God of His people, And I believe it was Brother Brenham who once said, without him we are nothing, and he also needs us as his body in order to be able to reveal himself here on earth. So what we need is a breaking down such as we have never experienced before. Such inner distress must come upon us that we, like Jacob, simply will not let go, even if it lasts until morning, and say, Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. It will be worth it, brothers and sisters. It will be worth it. And God's blessing will be revealed. You will feel it. The hour must come when true love, nothing artificial, nothing forced, but out of the love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, one finds the other. We can no longer be without each other. We are connected. As the body is joined through everything, each individual member feels with the other. Through the connection, the organism simply exists. And so it is with the body of Jesus Christ. I believe it was Brother Pfister who said to me in Brussels, in Belgium, Brother Frank, the house of God consists of many stones, and the mortar between them is love. It is love. Yes, that's it. The house of God consists of many stones, but the mortar between them is love. One stone can no longer rub against another because there is mortar between them, the love of God poured out by the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Just be honest tonight. Do you have difficulty loving one another properly? Do we have problems? Basically, as we heard in the opening word, if we walk in the light, we are no longer in darkness. There is nothing that separates us from our brother. There is nothing that could move us not to love someone. But the question is actually this, whether we have to make an effort to love one another, to meet one another, to reach out to one another, or whether it is simply a matter of not being able to wait for the time to come. We must ask ourselves. I must ask myself the question. Please understand it correctly. I would be a hypocrite if I wanted to reproach you here. I ask myself, do I have to force myself? Do I have to somehow make an effort to shake hands with a brother or sister? Or is it simply there? This living fellowship, is this intimate love of God poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit? Then it is the driving force within us. Then it is no longer us who have to try, perhaps even on the way, to think about how we should meet our brother or sister. Who wants to think about it when they are on their way? Then it is better that we pray and do not think about it, but let ourselves be given the connection with God so that we can come before the Lord in the house of God. I say to you once again, if everything is in order in our midst, then God will move the place and our hearts. It cannot fail to happen, because He is the God of His Word and His people. He must fulfill His promises. So, in order to put an end to all uncertainty, to all doubts. Let us allow God to give us an inner need, a brokenness, this cry of desperation. And in this way, but that does not need to be here, everyone will experience it with their God somewhere, sometime, where it comes over them and they do not stop until the sun rises for him, as with Jacob. And when the Lord then strikes somewhere, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that the sun rises for us and that we have had an experience with God. I believe that is what matters, not whether we can explain everything. That has not been done in the Bible either. The Bible is not here for that. And as I have already mentioned, the Lord Jesus did not give the command to explain the word. He only gave the command, preach the gospel. We cannot explain experiences ourselves. Experiences must be made. And each individual, as we also see in the Holy Scriptures, had these experiences in different places and at different times, but the effect was the same. And so it must be with us. If we are a biblical church with biblical experiences, with a real new birth and baptism of the Holy Spirit, being baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, then we are most certainly of one heart and one soul. Basically, this was already the case with the 120 before Pentecost. They were already then one heart and one soul. Is that right? One must be careful to always have the right scripture in mind and the right context. It could also be that it was those who later... No, it was already those brothers and sisters there. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These all continued with one accord in prayer. So, you can believe me, something happened to the disciples and to those who gathered there at Pentecost, or even before Pentecost. Before Pentecost, they still wanted to know who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. But here, no one thought of themselves anymore. No one, but they were with one accord in prayer. And God revealed himself in their midst. That is what we need. In addition to all our knowledge and all our understanding, we need this experience with the Almighty God. And without this experience, we will be lacking on the day when the Lord Jesus returns to take his own home. I hope I have not robbed anyone of what they have experienced with God. We do not want to sow doubt. That is what the enemy does. But we want certainty before the face of the Almighty God. For let us be honest, uncertainty leads to unbelief. But certainty will reveal faith. Faith gives the power to overcome, as the song goes. And God will stand by his word and by his grace allow us to experience that we can draw near to him and that, as we have read, he breathes on us and we receive new life from God. We know that we have experienced this, but just as the disciples knew where the Lord Jesus breathed on them and where he said, "Receive the Holy Ghost, and whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven." It was already a considerable authority that he gave them there. But they could only set out to preach after the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And they went out and proclaimed the word of the Lord. Believe me, brothers and sisters, time is growing short, and the day is drawing nearer when the Lord Jesus will take his own home. Let us not rest until we rest in God. If we still have to tell ourselves or somehow reassure ourselves about some biblical experience, no one should do that anymore. We want certainty from God, and we have that after our experience with God. No one needed to ask Jacob and all those who had an experience with God, "Do you believe that you have experienced it, or what do you think?" All these questions were gone once and for all after the experience with God. And so it will be here with us, so it will be with me, so it will be with all of us. After a genuine experience with the Almighty God, every doubt will cease and every question will come to an end. We will know of a day and remember an hour when God met us and we were able to experience His grace, an hour when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon us. We have heard it often enough. It is not about doing something ourselves and showing people that we have received the Holy Spirit, but about the experience itself and what God then reveals in gifts is His business. He will bring it to pass. But may God grant us all the grace to leave every word exactly where God has placed it, and that we may be able to discern when the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, even before the resurrection and also before the crucifixion and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, "Ye are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." That did not prevent him from breathing on his disciples after the resurrection and say, "Receive the Holy Ghost." It did not prevent him from pouring out the fullness of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It is really necessary, brothers and sisters, believe me, that we speak biblically in our conversations. And that can only be if we do not say what we think or mean, but say what God's Word has to say on the specific topic. For the Bible says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." And God will grant us that by His grace. And we all know very well that we have no reason to complain. God has done great things. And I know of no one on this earth or no place where God has worked so wonderfully after Brother Branham's passing as here in our midst. Perhaps he has done so, I do not know. We are very grateful to God for the revealed word, and we acknowledge everything in its entirety. But we must also realize that we are not yet where the church was in the beginning, equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is our right to claim the promises of God. And then all our own struggles will cease, and it will be God who reveals Himself, who works and speaks and makes Himself known among His people. And we will be so joined to one another that it would actually be impossible to separate one from the other. And if we do not yet feel this connection to one another, I would like to say this very clearly. Let us not pass the buck to anyone else tonight, but let us actually ask ourselves, for the other, the brother, the sister, will also ask themselves before God. And we will all ask ourselves this question before God. But one thing is certain, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, there is a lot of mortar between the stones. Then there is a lot of mortar between the stones. And even if the enemy were to set out to do evil among us, he would not succeed. Because in the house of God, as we read in Revelation, the Lord walks among the seven golden candlesticks. And when the Lord walks, there is no room for the other. Where the Lord comes into His own, Satan has lost his right. And we stand in faith on the victorious ground of Golgotha. And let no one have the impression that we are despondent or that we are just beginning our life of faith. But we would rather give the impression that we do not yet have enough than give the impression that we have everything in abundance and we would be lacking on the day when the Lord Jesus returns. May God grant us this grace, that from now on we may more or less leave doctrinal matters to our meetings. At least from the moment when certain differences become apparent, the moment when differences in knowledge and doctrine become apparent in a conversation, it is immediately a signal to break off the conversation and the topic. The Bible says, literally, no brother shall teach another, but they shall all be taught by God. And when God teaches, the matter is uniform. There is not the slightest difference in the teaching when God teaches us. And we know how God teaches. He reveals His word to His servants, the prophets. He has His servants, or whoever it may be, who pass on the word freshly revealed by God to the people of God. And believe me, a servant of God must not be self-serving or think that he has to defend his point of view. A preacher might have to do so, but not a servant of God. If any of us comes here to the front to present or even defend his point of view, let him remain seated and wait until God calls him. Whoever comes to the front here presents God's point of view according to the word of the Lord, to the best of his knowledge and belief, and God will then give his full blessing upon it. Brothers and sisters, do me a favor. Do not leave this place in despair, but let us thank God from the bottom of our hearts for all that he has already done. And I think of the word, it is probably Peter who said it, that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of his word. And we can cite many scriptures on this. We are grateful to God for all his blessings, for every experience, for every teaching, for every insight, for everything God has done in our midst. But now it is time to take the final hurdle. And in the sermon we translated, Brother Branham says that this characteristic was not required in past church ages, but now at the end it is required. And it simply must become apparent. And I believe it was Brother Weber who expressed it here. How can we love the Lord if we do not love one another? And we can even say, Lord, I love you. But in truth, it becomes evident among ourselves. It becomes evident among ourselves. Our standard towards God is measured by each other, whether we want to admit it or not. May God give us such a nature, such love, that we would no longer be able to say anything negative about a brother or sister. Imagine we want to spend eternity together and testify that we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Why say anything negative at all? Who wants to accuse God's elect? They are justified by the blood of the Lamb, and no one can accuse them. Should there be something that we feel we must criticize or object to in each other, why make a big deal out of it? If it is not right in God's eyes, in our opinion, let us bring it to him, for he is the only one who can remedy the situation. All our talking will not remedy the situation. On the contrary, it will only make it worse. But the moment we are passionate about each other and simply say, Lord, I do not want to spend eternity without my brother or sister. I come before your holy face. Your blood has been shed. Have mercy and intervene, and you will see what happens in our midst. When such love drives us to pray for one another, then it will become evident that we are true disciples, because we have true love among ourselves and for one another. If we can only determine what one or the other is not doing right in our opinion, that does not count before God. True love will lead us to simply, as the Bible says, probably in Romans 8, that the Spirit comes to our aid, and that we come before the face of God with groanings which cannot be uttered, and intercede for the saints. So it is written in the Word of God. Did we grudge one against another, or have we been able to pray through the Holy Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered, and the Holy Spirit is at work, so that we intercede for one another? That is what matters. Brothers and sisters, I have to submit to every word, just as you all do. And I ask God to grant me grace that none of us may be lacking on the day when Jesus comes. And I ask you that from this day forward, we all intercede for one another and pray for one another in such a way that we even weep for one another, especially when someone thinks that this brother or sister is not behaving as they should. Just pray and let the Lord give you the grace to intercede with a broken heart. And then the whole atmosphere in the meeting will be renewed. God will bless. It will be something lovely where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. He commanded His blessing, even life forevermore. Praise be to Him. That is what we all want by the grace of our God. I believe there is not a single person here who could bear it if someone were missing on the day when Jesus comes. Tell me, whom would you not want to see in eternity or with the Lord? We want to be there ourselves, and we want everyone with whom we have heard God's word and believed together to reach the destination together. We would have material for preaching here, especially from Joshua, how the 2.5 tribes had already conquered the land, and God says, "You shall go before until all your brethren have taken possession of the land, and then you may return home. So let no one look favorably upon himself, but whoever already has the land and enjoys its fruits shall set out at the head of his brothers and shall fight the battle of faith until they all come to rest in God, until they all take possession of the land and can enjoy and reveal its glorious fruits. Praise be to His wonderful and holy name. May the Lord bless us all. Amen. Let us rise for the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, Your mercy is great, and Your goodness to the children of men has no end. And You let our transgressions be as far from us as the east is from the west. But Lord, I believe with all my heart that from this evening onwards You will do something great in us and for us all. And You will also reveal it among us, O God. We praise You, we worship You, and place everything in Your pierced hands. Reveal Yourself to us too. Breathe Your resurrection life into us. Hallelujah. And that we too may forgive one another, O Lord, and that we may then be gathered together in one accord to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, faithful Lord, and ask You to be with us all. In Jesus' name, Amen.